And this song comes from one of the early Midnight Oil records, and it talks about our place is called Lucky Country. Say, let's go lucky, the country here, where the geckos are paid to live in the sun.
Our Arts, Heritage and Environment Minister in his former incarnation as Rockstar at the Glastonbury Festival back in 1982. This Australia Day, it's good to remember that Australia is indeed the lucky country. Incidentally, 1982 was the very same year that a mysterious disease claiming hundreds of lives became known as the Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome, or AIDS. It spread to become a global epidemic which has killed millions. Most Australians enjoy good medical care, and for HIV-positive Australians, that means easy access to the latest drugs. Not so in the developing world. One of the biggest health challenges in poor countries is coping with the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Worldwide, about 33 million people live with HIV, most in the developing world, and about half have no access at all to any life-saving medications. The drugs are simply too expensive, and when it comes to some groups like children, the drugs aren't even on the market.
There is this alternative for pharmaceutical companies. If they really want to live up to all of their corporate social responsibility statements about giving access to the developing world, they should support voluntary initiatives like the patent pool, which actually allow us to get this access and to scale up the treatment for those many millions of people who don't currently have it.
That's Michelle Childs. She works in the London office of charity Médecins Sans Frontières. She says the current economic and legal model that underpins the international pharmaceutical industry does not serve the world's poor. Many of the lucky ones who do have access to medications rely on cheap Indian generics. India is often described as the pharmacy of the developing world. A cocktail of older-style drugs sold by generic manufacturers costs about $80 per annum. But the World Health Organization has recommended a move away from these now dated treatments because they have side effects. But that's easier said than done. The newer, more effective medications are still under patent and hence extremely expensive. This means that generic manufacturers can't use these latest drugs to develop products which are specifically targeted at groups in developing countries, vulnerable groups like children. To get around this, MSF and others are calling for the creation of what's known as a patent pool.
Well, it's a simple idea. What it's basically saying is to the big pharmaceutical companies and other patent owners, we're asking them to share their knowledge by putting all of the relevant patents into a licensing agency, and that licensing agency makes that knowledge available to generic manufacturers who, in return for paying fair royalties to the patent owners, can make those drugs cheaper and also, importantly, can make new formulations. Because HIV is a cocktail of drugs, what we're really looking for are simpler ways for patients to take those drugs by combining these cocktail of drugs into one easy-to-take pill that you take twice a day.
When you hear debates around patents and big pharma, I mean, the argument is often put that the drugs are developed by private companies in the developed world. They spend a lot of money on R&D and they're not going to keep on investing unless they get a return or a profit on that investment. But when it comes to the issue you've just raised around children with HIV, you're suggesting that maybe there's some kind of market failure. The profit motive is not really going to, for a whole range of reasons, address the needs of these desperately vulnerable children.
Yes. I mean, some of the bigger pharmaceutical companies have recently made some statements that they're interested in this area, but traditionally they have not carried out any work precisely because, you know, they're focusing on making profits, which they make in the West, and they recover their costs for research and development primarily from Western markets. About 98% of their profits are from Western markets. So the patent pool is not saying that they won't make any money, they will get royalty payments, but it's a way of recognising that there isn't the same interest from them in the developing world, but generic manufacturers, because they have lower overheads, can make money in this market and are prepared to enter into it and offer these desperately needed drugs.
So these generic manufacturers, which are, of course, profit-making companies, their, if you like, economic model is more geared towards these let's call them low-end consumers, and they're more likely to invest in making those drugs for those hard-to-reach, low-profit margin groups?
Yes. I mean, they look for lower profits, but also they have lower production costs.
Now, you mentioned before that India is the pharmacy to the developing world, or the pharmacy to the world's poor. It is currently a vital source of affordable medicines for people across the developing world. And that is partially because of historical reasons, because up until 2005, it was very much had an open door to generic manufacturers. What was the law up in 2005, and what is the law now?
Well, up until 2004, their patent laws, which control who can make and use drugs, basically only covered the process to make the drug. So if you could come up with a new way of making the same drug, you would not infringe the patent and you were able to do it. So that was what's known as a process patent.
So you're saying that up until then, the component parts of a drug were not what was patented. What was patented was the way that you made it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So if you could come up with a new way of making it, then you were able to do so and the law wouldn't stop you from doing so. But after 2005, the patent law changed and now India grants patents on the actual product. So that really closes that door for generic manufacturers.
Now, when India introduced its new patent laws in 2004-2005, it included a number of safeguards to safeguard the interests of consumers and indeed local manufacturers. But those safeguards actually brought it into conflict with one of the big pharmaceutical giants, didn't it?
Yes. I mean, one of the key public safeguards that they introduced was that you would only get a patent if you could show that it was a new medicine and that it was medically more beneficial than the existing medicines. And so they introduced a provision in their law which is called 3D, which basically says if you are just tweaking an existing medicine, then you don't get a patent unless you can prove that that tweak has led to a medical benefit. And one of the big pharmaceutical companies, Novartis, has sought to challenge that particular provision because they want to have that provision very widely interpreted so that more of their drugs can be under patent. So they took that in 2007 to the High Court in India, and they tried to get the whole provision taken out of the Indian law, even though it is entirely permissible under international patent law to introduce high patentability standards. They lost that case, but recently they have sought to have another challenge to this provision. So they failed to get the whole provision knocked out. What they're now seeking to do is to challenge the interpretation of key parts of that provision, particularly what is meant by therapeutic efficacy. And in doing that, what they want to do is to widen this so it catches more of the drugs that they're making so that they can get a patent for them and therefore exclude generic competition for the lifetime of the patent. And we're talking about 15 or 20 years before it would be possible for generic manufacturers to make the cheap drugs that many people rely on.
What do you think will happen in this case before the Indian High Court? What do you think is the likely outcome?
Well, I mean, I think it's a very bad business to try and predict what courts will say, because we all know that judges can go either way. We hope that the Indian High Court will uphold the interpretation that the previous case upheld, which is that 3D should be interpreted in a very narrow sense so that you are only granted patents if you can very clearly show that there is an enhanced medical benefit. You know, we have too few access to the really important life-saving drugs to grant patents on those drugs which just have a minor tweak, and the purpose is to try and exclude competition.
And if the Indian High Court sees things the way that Big Pharma see things, what would that mean for the lives of many, many millions of people who currently continue to live because they have access to these Indian generic pharmaceutical products?
Well, I mean, it's a real threat to continued access, because there have been a number of successful oppositions to applications for patents in India based on this interpretation of 3D. So, for example, one of the key HIV drugs, nevirapine, a syrup version of nevirapine, which is used for children, a patent in India was rejected through an opposition, and it was rejected on the basis of 3D. So if this law is in effect gutted, then it means that there will be more patents. This means that the generic competition, which we depend on to lower price and create these new formulations, will be delayed until the end of the patent term, which, as I said, is between 15 and 20 years. And that means that people will not be able to have access to these life-saving drugs during that period unless other action is taken.
Michelle Childs, she's the Director of Policy Advocacy with the Campaign for Essential Medicines with Médecins Sans Frontières.